when you think about those two definitions and you put them together, you realize, wait, they have very similar expressions of what this thing is, but we often determine that medical or physiological illness is somehow void of taboo, whereas mental or psychological illness is somehow, oh, that's bad, that's wrong, that's not okay, when they both come from the body. You're listening to the Experience Freedom Podcast. I'm your host, Ajaynay Gaylord, and I endeavor to educate, encourage, and empower women to embrace emotional healing and eradicate the stigma of mental health in the body of Christ. In this episode, we are going to talk a little bit more about that stigma, define mental health and mental illness. But first, I'd like to take a bit of time to introduce you to a voice that you are going to be hearing pop in and out of the podcast often. My good friend Michelle Crenn has been with me on this journey, so I'm going to give her an opportunity to tell you exactly why she's here.
Okay, so as Ajaynay said, my name is Michelle, and my husband and I have been married for 19 years. We have five children, which is three boys and then two girls, aging in range from 15 to 6. And they are home educated, which has to do with how I first met Ajaynay. Over the past 5 years of friendship, I've enjoyed our conversations about life, faith, and our journeys in all of our roles as wives, mothers, friends, Christians, homeschoolers, etc. And when we were chatting at the end of last year, I had the thought that maybe Ajaynay could share some of her knowledge and ideas about children and families and mental health that she had been learning in her PhD program with a broader audience. So I am a big podcast listener while I work on things around the house. And I asked if she had thought about creating a podcast. Well, indeed, she had already been pondering the idea, and me asking her about it helped to confirm that this is a time for the Experience Freedom podcast. As we continue to brainstorm together, it has been amazing to me to see how God is giving us topics and stories and conversations that we believe will be helpful and encouraging to other women. That is our hope. We desire to see women of God experiencing freedom and healing in areas of past hurts, whether big or small. So that's a little bit about me. You'll hear me and my perspective from time to time, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to support Ajaynay in this endeavor.
That's awesome. You did a great job introducing yourself, because I don't even think I told them how many children I had or whether I was married and where I live. Yes, I'm in Detroit. What up, though? So, yeah, I think I'll do the introduction of myself as well. This will be a good time for me to kind of give more about my background. But yeah, like Michelle said, we both home educate our children. This was not a journey I had planned on, but I ended up here. So I have four teenagers. My oldest just turned 18 and graduated. So we just launched our first homeschool graduate this year, which was great. And I have three others coming behind her, three daughters, one son, my one and only son, who's my youngest. My husband and I have been married for almost 20 years. I cannot believe it's been almost 20 years. And he and I do real estate here in Detroit. He's a full-time realtor and agent. And yeah, that's it about me. I think I shared a little bit about me. I'm back in school working on my PhD, which I didn't expect. I really thought I was done, but the Lord had other plans, and I'm just grateful that He would even select me for this journey. So Michelle and I, she's been such a blessing to me, encouraging me to launch. I've been working on this podcast in my mind, as far as in my heart, and carrying the idea for a couple of years. And she came to me earlier this year and just really encouraged me and said, any way I can help, I can pray, I can learn, whatever I can do. So she's going to be making appearances throughout. And I usually record these episodes in conversation with her, which is amazing. I love to have great conversations, which I hope is what this podcast will be. So thanks for allowing us to be a part of your day. And I hope you will stick around. So I would like to ask you, Michelle, to tell us a little bit more about what your behind the scenes is for the podcast and what you bring to the table.
So in my former life before children, my husband and I actually met at college and I got a elementary education degree. And so I'm a teacher by trade, which, you know, some people may think that that makes me more qualified to home educate my children. I do not see it that way. I believe that everybody, every parent, dad, mom, combination of the two are more than qualified to help their children on their educational journey. And so, so that's kind of my beliefs on that. As far as what I've been so excited to be helping out with the podcast is just the brainstorming of ideas, the having real conversations that as girlfriends that we just have because life keeps happening. And so then the kind of listening back to some of the content and thinking, okay, what about what we are saying could be helpful to our audience? And so that's all been super fun to be in on the behind the scenes.
So what you all hear most of the time are recordings of conversations that I'm having with Michelle. So even if you hear my voice, she's usually the audience. She's usually the person who has asked a question or sparked the conversation and we just hit record and get going. So you'll hear my voice a lot, but then you'll also hear her pop in every now and then. And I want to be sure that I highlight the fact that even though we come from different backgrounds and we have different experiences, we have different identities, I love that she brings a new perspective, a different perspective to the conversation. We do not always agree. And I love that. I love that she can bring her ideas, her thoughts, her perspectives, her experiences to the table. And just broaden what we talk about. So I'm so glad to have her on the journey with me. Even if you don't hear her on the episode, trust, she had something to do with what got recorded and what got produced for you. So I'm so glad that she's with me. So we've covered a lot of ground with introductions. And then today I was thinking about our meeting and us talking and just us having a conversation around mental health and picking up from where we left off last time when we were discussing the stigma and why there is such a stigma, not just in the body of Christ, but especially in the body of Christ. And I was watching this video of a woman that I admire. She's in the mental health and faith space where she does a lot of talking about mental health and churches and the body of Christ and her own personal experience with it. So one thing that she was sharing was just her personal experience with her sibling having a mental illness that got diagnosed later on, but because her parents were pastors and they were in a particular denomination that was very much unafraid of casting out demons and calling out and doing having discussions around demon possession, oftentimes, and especially for believers in some circles, those things get overlapped. So what can often be described in symptoms of someone who is suffering from a particular mental illness may sound like a manifestation of the spirit realm or demons or something that seems a little bit more like torment. And that doesn't mean that demons don't exist. As you know, we can look in our scripture and understand that there is a whole spirit world and there are beings in that spirit world. We are beings in this natural world. So not to scare anyone, but to really understand if we were to define mental illness, let's start with defining just what is illness, right? Illness is just anything that causes a disorder or a dis-ease or something out of place. That's a very simplistic definition of what just illness is. It can be caused by something that's unusual. For example, if you get a virus in your body, and we've just come out of 2 years of all there's been talk about is viruses, there's something that's unusual. It's not common for your body, and it enters your body, and now you're suddenly ill or sick. So it could be an injury. You get hit by something, or you fall down, and there's some type of damage. So there's damage to your body in some way, to the tissues and the cells and the organs, or there's an invader, like a virus, right? And when we talk about medical illness, we understand that pretty simply. We understand that something goes wrong in the body and it no longer functions in the way that it should. So heart disease means your heart doesn't function in the way that it should. Diabetes means that your pancreas and your insulin doesn't function in the way that it should. And so we understand that most of us don't have any stigma around that. But when it comes to mental illness, that is when your emotions, your feelings, your thoughts, or behavior is out of order or disordered or not in optimal functioning. That's when there may be, and what we call mental illness or diagnosable mental illness, is that there are symptoms and things that happen that you can identify and then categorize and give a name to. That's all diagnosis is that we decided that all of these things mean that you have this thing that we're calling it. So when I looked up, because I was like, let me just look it up and see if there's something I missed, right? Because this is something that I'm familiar with. And so I don't think about what mental illness is. I don't think about what medical illness is. I just know what it is. And so I looked up one definition and it said that it's a dis-ease or an impairment of normal physiological function affecting all or part of an organism, especially a specific or pathological change. That means it's something that you can see consistent, you know, that you can see there's some consistency too. That's what pathological means. Caused by infections or stress or other characteristic of symptoms altogether. And I'm very familiar with an impairment in my physiology because I've suffered with chronic illness most of my adult life. So then I said, well, if that's what a physical or physiological illness is, then what is a psychological illness or what is a mental illness? And I came up with the definition that it's an impairment of normal psychological functioning affecting all or part of thinking and or behavior, especially a specific pathological change caused by stress, trauma, or injury. So when you think about those two definitions and you put them together, you realize, wait, they have very similar expressions of what this thing is, but we often determine that medical or physiological illness is somehow void of taboo, whereas mental or psychological illness is somehow, oh, that's bad, that's wrong, that's not okay, when they both come from the body. So when we think about, and I shared a little bit before, that a lot of times a mental illness can be defined or even traced back to a chemical imbalance where? In the body, in the brain, in a lot of instances. As we already know, our brains are the control centers of the body. Without our brains, our bodies don't know what to do. Our bodies don't know how to breathe. Our bodies don't know how to digest. Our bodies don't know how to blink. Without our control center, which is our brain, the body can't function. But the brain is not a part of the soul. We talked about this before, where we are a spirit. We have a soul, which is the mind, will, and emotions, and we live in a body. So the body is made up of the brain, the organs, the systems, the cells. Our soul is made up of our mind, will, and emotions. And the brain and the mind are not the same. The brain is the physical part of our control center, whereas the mind is the emotional or thinking or the feeling part of who we are that's connected to our will. So but they are all contained in this one part of us, in this one, because we're one being. And so when we understand that, then we can look at mental illness, then we can look at mental health as something that we all have. So interestingly enough, I looked up a few statistics on the American Psychiatric Association. And I just wanted to see, you know, what were some of the statistics? What are they saying? And as we know, statistics are not perfect. They're just some general numbers to help us identify what may be going on in society. But it says that nearly one in five U.S. adults experience some sort of mental illness. That one in 24 has a serious mental illness. So do you know more than 24 people? Then, I mean, if you just look in a congregation, there's more, usually more than 24 people. And if you're in a bigger setting, obviously you're going to see multiple people who may have a serious mental illness. And serious means it's pathological. It's unrelenting, almost like chronic illness. There isn't a lot of relief, right? And then one in 12 of those have a diagnosable substance use disorder, because a lot of times people try to quiet voices that they're hearing or deal with the pain of carrying these thoughts and even their behavior that can sometimes cause other issues. So their emotional distress, and they try to ease that with substances. So if we just look at these statistics, nearly one in five. So if you have a family, like I have a family of six, it's six of us. And the statistics say that one out of the six of us could have a mental illness. But here's what I want to bring light to, that 100% of us have a fallen body that can do anything at any time that's outside of the will of God and can affect how we live and how we show up in the world, whether that's our medical, you know, physiological health, or that's our mind and our mental health. So 100% of us are walking around in corruptible bodies, in corruptible condition. And it is truly our understanding of what the scripture teaches about how we turn our members over to the spirit of us who is surrendered to Christ and his kingdom. Now, we've accepted that he gave us an opportunity at new life. And even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that in our belief in him, we can be made free. We can be made whole. We can be born again. We can be set free. That's why we need to normalize not being normal. There is no such thing as normal. This is what life is. This is what it is to be in this life. This is what it is to experience living in a fallen world, in a fallen condition, as we trust our Lord to lead us and comfort us and keep us and help us until we meet him in the end, until we go on to glory, until we receive our glorified bodies. Until that time, we may get a cold. We may get a virus. We may get cancer. We may have inflammation that causes autoimmune issues. We may have a headache. But that doesn't mean that we are not fully in receipt of the freedom that he's provided. It just means that we walk through it with an assurance that this isn't all there is. That's the difference, that we have hope that the world doesn't have, because we know that as we face trials, as we face challenges, as we deal with issues and struggles and all of the things, that we have a hope that the world doesn't have, that this is not all there is, and that we have a Savior who has experienced all of these emotions, all of this pain physically, all of this pain emotionally, all of this pain relationally. He has been our example of how we are to live in a fallen world, right? In a fallen condition, and strive to do it without sin. And if we do sin, he's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He has already provided a solution for us. So when we face these things, not only do we get to know more about what it's like to overcome, because he said, in this world, you're going to have trouble, but I've overcome the world. And he gives us that example, but we can give that same hope to other people. So I think about the scripture in Corinthians that says that he's the God of all comfort, who comforts us when we're in any trouble, and that we ourselves can then in turn comfort others. And that's the whole purpose of us suffering, of us enduring, of us struggling, because if we don't understand all of these issues, we can't really share with you what freedom really is. If we're continuing to ignore certain topics or dismiss certain discussions or push certain things aside or to have an unrelenting view of something, it makes it harder for us to share the freedom that is available to us through Christ. Wow, Michelle, this has been a really great episode. So we're going to just add in the life work for this time. What we can do is to reach out to someone that we know might be struggling, just offer some support, some encouragement, just show a kindness. It doesn't have to even be anything extensive. It can just be a kind word or a kind gesture. Showing a little kindness and showing some grace, I think, is the life work we're going to complete this time around. That's it for this episode. If you have been enjoying listening, please consider sharing and subscribing to the podcast. And until next time, remember, you have been set free to live free, so choose freedom.